Couldn't help but chuckle when you were announcing who was to speak next week and on what subject. I hope that mine will be an introduction, because that's exactly the topic I chose. It must be the Lord wants you to hear something about sheep and shepherd. But before I do, I'd like to call my daughter up and trust that the words of this song will sort of shed a little light on God as the one who looks after us. Living by faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. I know He will safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. And if you know the chorus, let's sing it. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in a sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. God has certainly been... No, I don't expect that. It's all for Him. I trust that if there's anything applause, it's to go to Jesus Christ. Remember years ago, I was in the plumbing van. We owned a plumbing business at the time, and I was driving down one of the roads near between Peterborough or Lakefield and Bridge North, and I saw something on the road ahead. It turned out to be a little lamb. Totally lost. Totally lost. It was a country road. It was a gravel road, so it probably wasn't too far from home. And so I stopped. And the lamb didn't walk away or run away or anything else, but it allowed me to pick it up. And I took it in my arms. I climbed back in the driver's seat. And I drove up to the nearest farm where I figured the lamb belonged. Nobody was home, but I left the lamb in sight of the other sheep. I trust that that lamb arrived safely back to his mother and that the owners actually found it. But it was interesting that after I deposited the lamb and I got back on the road again, I noticed that I had a bunch of ticks on me, and that's not uncommon. But you know something? Isn't that like us? Isn't that like us when we get lost? There are certain things that, well, we just don't want some of those things that get attached to us, do we? But I'll tell you, when the Lord reaches down to us as sheep, He cleans us up. He cleans us up. I'm not sure where our brother will go next week, but I'd like to look at a couple of things this morning. Of course, in John chapter 10, we know that that is a portion of the Good Shepherd. I'm going to be giving you quite a number of references, and as we touch upon them, let's turn to John chapter 10. Familiar portion to all of you. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus uses this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke of to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are them thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not a shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Let's pray. Father, this morning, as we see you as the Lamb of God that was worthy to take away the sin of the world, we just know that you are also our good shepherd. And so, Father, we pray that as we look at this subject this morning, that you would indeed bless us and cause our hearts to turn to the Savior, for he alone is worthy. Father, let us see the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and his great work in our lives. And so we ask this in his precious name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray and have turned aside each one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Yet he is that great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, for you were sheep gone astray, but now you are turned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus is the good shepherd. And of course, we know this, what it says in the prophets in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. He says, behold, the Lord Jehovah will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs to his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead them with young. The good shepherd. And of course, it was his priestly office in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand on the little ones." And of course, that is reiterated in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. And then Jesus said to them, "All of you have been offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad." That happened, didn't it? Remember Peter boasting, "And Lord, if all forsake you, I won't." And yet, Peter, this very night, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And what a beautiful story later on the seashore when Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you really love me? Do you really love me?" Three times the Lord asked him. And the difference between Peter and, of course, and Judas was that Peter genuinely repented, because after the cock crowed, he went out and wept bitterly and repented. And God used him mightily in the building of the church. Jesus is also known as the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a never fading crown of glory." He is the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." The scripture recognizes that Jesus is the good shepherd because he is a chief shepherd, he is a great shepherd, and he is the one shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 16, we read it. "I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must also lead those, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd." There is no other shepherd. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And God is the one to lead through Jesus Christ. He's a chief shepherd, he's a great shepherd, he's the one shepherd, but he's also the gentle shepherd, isn't he? Because he leads them gently in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead them with young." And we've read that already. It's worth repeating. He's also the shepherd that divides. Remember the story in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in glory, "And all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them from one another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats." There's a day coming. There's a day coming when Jesus will stand before him, and those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb would be put on his right side. And all those who have resisted and rejected and ignored the call of Christ through the Holy Spirit will be gone to eternal damnation. Does that make you shudder? He is a great shepherd. He's the only shepherd. He's a gentle shepherd, but yet he is the great divider. He is the great divider of the sheep. The wheat and the tares grow up together, don't they? But there comes a day when we will go either into everlasting punishment or into everlasting life. And that's Isaiah chapter 25, verse 46. What are the duties of the shepherd? I've never been a shepherd. I know maybe there have been some in your midst who were, and I think I asked that question last night. But isn't it to defend the sheep? 1 Samuel chapter 17, we know that David said to Saul, "Your servant keeps his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it." I don't know what David was like, but he must have been some kind of a lad. He fought to save the life of a lamb. Christ became the lamb. On that cross, he defeated our greatest enemy. And now he defends you and I as his sheep. Shepherd needs to find water for his sheep. In Genesis, often read in the Old Testament, But in Genesis chapter 29, verse 2, there's one phrase, they watered the flock at that well. And of course, it's talking about Jacob and the story of Laban. Shepherd needs to find water. Shepherd needs to give rest to the sheep. Jeremiah 33, verse 12. So says the Lord of hosts, again in this place, which is a desert without man and without beast, and in all cities, there shall be a home of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. Prophetically speaking. You know, keep thinking of Israel from time to time. I think there's a special day coming for them. Spiritually, they're in a desert. There are many who are turning to Christ as their Messiah. But yet there will be coming a time when it will be a place for them to lie down. God will defend them. God will fight for them. And they will come to know their Messiah. See, we read also in John chapter 10 that the shepherd knows the sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd. The shepherd also numbers his sheep. And God knows who we are. Christ, if you are his sheep, knows who you are. But I found it very interesting to a couple of phrases here. In verse 4 of chapter 10 of John, it says, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They've already belonged to that sheepfold. They know his voice. And yet in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must also bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You're either in the fold or you're out of the fold this morning. Do you know the shepherd's voice, or will you know the shepherd's voice? Does the shepherd know you? And do you know the shepherd? It's important that the shepherd knows you. And the only way that is possible is through the cross of Calvary. As much as we know the song, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. That song this morning was very touching. And it's a great song at Easter time. And I'm going to be leading the singing at our Easter conference in Peterborough this coming weekend, maybe a couple of weeks from now, but that's one of the songs I just like to hear a congregation sing. Especially when it's sung with feeling, with meaning, prayerfully, as we were asked to sing it. What a blessing. The shepherd also secures pastures for the sheep. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 41. These things, and these written by name, came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and struck their tents and the homes that were found there, and completely destroyed them until this day. And lived in their places because there were pastures there for the flocks. Now, I don't want to pull things out of context here, but I'm just sort of saying that yes, the shepherd secures pasture for the sheep. And sometimes this pasture might be found in far off places, maybe in desolation sometimes. You might find sheep grazing where cattle cannot graze. But either way, the pasture is secure from the dangers that might befall the sheepfold and the sheep, the flock. Aren't you glad that part of that responsibility of the shepherd is to search for the sheep? Jesus said, I have come to seek that which was lost. And we know some of the stories in the scriptures. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12 says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And verse 16 says, I will seek the lost and bring again those driven away and will bind up the broken and will strengthen the sick. And I will destroy the fat and the strong and will feed them with judgment. He searches for the lost. He binds up the broken. He strengthens the sick. We have a good shepherd who does these things for us. It is by faith that we know that he is that way. The qualities of a good shepherd: he is faithful and he is fearless. David displayed those well, didn't he? When he went after the bear and took it out, the lamb out of the lion's mouth. And then he said in verse 36, "And your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defiled the armies of a living God." And of course, he was talking about Goliath. And he went from a shepherd to a king with a shepherd's heart. And I'm glad that David did. And even though he fell in sin, yet God recognized and said about David, "He is a man after my own heart." Jesus Christ is a shepherd's heart. "He's a man after my own heart," God said. Jesus is the good shepherd. You think he'll fight for you and me? Of course he will. The biggest battle was fought at Calvary. But I'll tell you one thing, it continues to this day. We need to keep our faith and trust in the one who defends us, who gives us pasture, gives us rest, feeds us, binds up the broken, and strengthens us. He's unselfish. He is considerate. He's believing, and it happened, this is in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, "And it happened as the angels departed from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has happened, which the Lord made known to us.' And hurrying they came and sought out Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, and seeing they publicly told about the words which were spoken to them concerning the child. And all those who heard marveled about the things which things spoken to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and meditating in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was spoken to them." God revealed it to the shepherds, and they believed the word of God, the angels, through the angels that came down. And because they believed, they got to see a sight that very few people were able to see: the Son of God lying in a manger. And they believed. The shepherds believed. Of course, with Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is through the word of God that you, as I, as sheep, come to the point of belief in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the sheep. Sheep are a domesticated animal. Remember the story about Nathan telling David after he had Uriah killed at the gate and during the hottest part of the battle? And these were Samuel's words, and he said to David, "There were two men in one city, one rich and one poor, and the rich one had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor one had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and his sons. It ate from his own and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom and was to him like a daughter. And there was a traveler to the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and his own herd to dress for the traveler that had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man who had come. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, that man has done this thing, surely shall die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'You are that man.' But this lamb was in this person's home, drank out of his cup, ate his own food." Isn't that a nice picture of how the shepherd loves the sheep? The shepherd loves the sheep. And these were Nathan's word prophetically to David, of course, but they come directly from God himself. The sheep are harmless. Jeremiah 11:19, "But I was like a docile lamb being brought to the slaughter, brought to the slaughter. Now, when I picked up that little lamb, it never volunteered to fight or tussle or anything. It just relaxed. Do we do that? From time to time, do we relax with Christ? Our lives are so busy. Our young people seem to be caught up with so many electronic goodies that their time has to be used up. You know, from time to time I get to work with other people who are not of any way religious by any means, but even some that may have. And the first thing they do when they get to the job, they turn the radio on. Goes all day. And I tell you, that's wearing after a while where you're not used to it. Do we come apart? Are we still? Can we walk in these still pastures? They're defenseless. We heard of it. Their need of care is probably more than anything. A sheep is totally defenseless. And yet God knows these things. He provides for you and I. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Satan knows. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But unless God gives permission, Satan cannot touch the believer. Remember the story of Job? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God's in control of it all. He provided Jesus Christ as the good shepherd because he knew what kind of sheep you and I were. We're harmless, we're defenseless, we're in need of care, we need food. And he knows that. Sheep were used for burnt offering. The Old Testament is full of sacrifice. Thousands, millions of sheep, bullocks, turtle doves, whatever else, they brought to the temple, the tabernacle, were slain. But that wasn't sufficient. It only covered the sin of the people. And yet that great shepherd came as a Lamb of God and gave his life's blood for you and me. You know, the pictures that are in the scriptures regarding sheep, the shepherds, is full of them. And as a result of that, we don't work with sheep as much as they used to in the old days. And, of course, it was very familiar to the Israelites. But if we can just glean a little bit of what it is to be a sheep. But God has also given the responsibility of the oversight to be shepherds of the sheep, even in this assembly. Quite a responsibility. But even as fathers, we are the shepherds of our families. We need to be wise. We need to provide food. We need to provide pastures, green. We need to protect. We need to deliver them sometimes out of the bear's mouth. Fight for our children, who are lambs, as it were, that God has given to each one of us. And what a blessing it is when the people of God have places to come like this, where they fellowship with delight, fellowship with Jesus Christ, that we see him as only he is. What do we as sheep need? John chapter 10 says, "And when he ports forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We need the shepherd. We cannot go without the shepherd. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many in today's society don't even know what Christ is. I think it's a swear word. Our public school system has totally taken things out of any verse, any scripture out of the system. A lot of people today, especially the younger generations, have no idea what the Bible is. What's inside its covers. You know, years ago when I was growing up, you could talk to somebody, and I know that we've heard this story from others who have gone out and witnessed to people, and there was some sense of morality. They knew about the Ten Commandments, and they knew about God, and they knew about Jesus. But today, Many young people have no idea, no idea whatsoever. And if you talk to them about sheep and shepherd, they're even more ignorant. They've heard of sheep, of course, and they've heard of shepherds. But in what context? It's a matter of caring. It's a matter of caring, isn't it? Job chapter 3, 30 verse 1 says, "But now those younger laugh at me, whose father I would have refused to set with the dogs of my flock." Protection. We need protection. We've said that before. But you know, there's also something we need, and that is we need a sheepfold. In John chapter 10, verse 1, "Truly I say to you, he who does not enter into the sheepfold by the door, but going up by another way, that one is a thief and a robber. The doorkeeper opens to him." And I would like to think that the home, the family, is a sheepfold. Because, you know, you invite people in and out, but you have control of that. The assembly is a sheepfold in that sense. The elders take care of the flock. But you know, the church at large too should be, but I think that it's becoming more and more difficult. The church at large is becoming very apostate. If I had some time, I would show you a few things in regards to that, but let's stick with here. The sheep, of course, need the pasture. In Exodus chapter 3, "And Moses kept the flock and his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock into the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, to Horeb." Can't live without a sheep pasture. Can't live without the food. Can't live without the Word of God. Pastures and water. We do have the water of the Word. Jacob watered the flocks of Laban. Was it Rachel that also came with her father's flocks? And they watered them. Psalm 23. You would turn to Psalm 23 with me. This is not new to me. I found this somewhere. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. I'm going to read the entire psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." That's relationship. "I shall not want." That's supply. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That's rest. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's refreshment. "He restoreth my soul." That's healing. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." That's guidance. "For his name's sake." That's purpose. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that's testing. "I will fear no evil." That's protection. "For thou art with me." That's faithfulness. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's discipline. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's hope. "Thou anointest my head with oil." That's consecration. "My cup runneth over." That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's blessing. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." That's security. Forever. That's eternity. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. The one shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. Shall we pray? Father, some of us have walked along further in life than others, and yet there are others who've gone before. Their faithfulness has been exemplary. They finished the course well. And in that sense, Father, they were good sheep. But Father, no matter how good we are, it doesn't help. Because salvation is not a principle. It's not a performance. But it is the person of Jesus Christ. And thank you that he is a good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And Father, thank you for the time in our lives that we have trusted you and come to know that good shepherd. And Father, I pray that if someone here this morning still needs to know the voice of the shepherd, that you will gently lead them to the cross, convict them of their sin, and draw them to yourself. And Father, may we who know the shepherd be willing to talk to other sheep, and Lord, to share with them some of the pasture, some of the water from your word, because it says your word will not return unto you void. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you afresh this week. We pray that as this day progresses, that we would consider him as we have done the first service this morning. For he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory, wisdom and power and strength. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and who has become our shepherd. Father, thank you. 1,000 thanksgivings still won't be enough in eternity, and we have it. We can say it over and over again. And Father, we thank you for the day that we got this hope in Christ. But Father, help us to live victoriously, but to live in light of eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.